Welcome to Unfiltered Studios, your one-stop destination for a diverse range of podcasts that cater to every interest. Join St. Joe on Nailed It as he explores the fascinating times of the 80s and 90s. Find solace in the advice of a mother on Petals of Support. Dive deep into intriguing interviews on The Sleevey G Show. Catch up with the latest in sports on Unfiltered Sports Weekly. Connect with your spiritual side on Finding Your Way. Achieve mental wellness with Hypno-Wellness. Never forget the history of everyday items with The Stupid History Minute. Understand how we've become the people we are today on How to Be Less of an Asshole. And gather with fellow movie enthusiasts on Movie Lovers Unite. Your journey into the world of podcasts begins here at Unfiltered Studios. Subscribe now and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com for more information.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my good friend Tamiko here with me. We're going to be doing our review of The Terminator. We're revisiting The Terminator, and it's been a long time since I've seen it. It's been some years. And I got a lot of things to say about it that I really have to say that I enjoy this film, revisiting it after so many years. So with further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's get on with the show. And hey, Tamika, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? I wasn't doing nothing.
You weren't moving your camera a little bit or anything like that?
No.
No? Okay. I'm lying, but it's good. But how you been?
I've been good.
That's good. That's real good.
Heard a very strange commercial that people will be hearing soon. That's all I got to say.
Yep, for the Big Kahuna Burger and also for Nuka-Cola. So there you go. But anyways, guys, welcome to the show. So it's been a long time since I've seen The Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say it's been at least 10, maybe 15 years since I've seen The Terminator. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's about the same for me.
And what was your thoughts on revisiting it when we decided that we were going to go on ahead and review The Terminator?
First, I had to find out where it was.
By the way, it's streaming on Max, by the way.
I was like, well, okay, we're going to do The Terminator. Okay, John, where is it? But yeah, I'm getting to it. Just calm down.
You're good.
But yes, my first thoughts were, oh, it makes sense now. Like, if you watch The Terminator and then you watch the second one, you understand why she was like, oh no, it's him again. You see the drastic change between mm-hmm. the two. I don't know what to call.
PTSD?
No, like the two Terminators or machines.
There's actually the T-100, and then this Cyborg. Is actually, yeah, Cyborg, yeah.
Yeah, you see the difference between the two. Like, one is on a murderous rampage for this one woman, and then on the second one, it flips, and he's like, oh, okay, I don't want to kill you anymore. I want to help you. I wouldn't trust him either. I'm like, what? I mean,
right.
Put a gun to my face in the bar. And now you're talking about you want to help me? No.
Well, that was a different version. That was a different version of that, though.
Oh, he got an upgrade.
Yeah, he got a nicer upgrade. That I believe that's the Y2K bug.
Oh, he got a software. His software was out of date.
That's what it was.
That's why he went crazy and tried to kill her. But in the second one, since his software was upgraded, he was fine.
Right, exactly.
That's
the theory. That I'm going with.
The nightmares I have about my Alexa and my iPhone. Like, what if they turn into like this Terminator because I missed the update?
Like, you know what though?
To think about.
Well, you know what? It makes me think about AI, and we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Oh my gosh! Something. Okay.
But you know, revisiting this thing again and remembering what Arnold said when James Cameron came up with the pitch for it. Because at that time, Arnold was like, I do not want to be a villain. I want to be a hero. That's what I've signed up for. I did not want to be a villain. Well, James pitched the idea. He goes, look, man, you already know the body movements of how this thing is supposed to move for one thing, because you even pitched the idea to me about how the machine's supposed to move. Huh. Then also two, another thing that happened was this. He's like, look, I want to be the face of an action star. I cannot be a face of an action star if I'm a villain. And he goes, well, think of it like this. You're not the villain. You're just a robot killing people because of the fact somebody else sent that robot into the future. You're just doing what it's programmed to do. So therefore, you're not technically a villain. Hey, baby.
Hey, Brandy. If they had James spun that to Arnold, he said, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's exactly how he spun it to Arnold. Because yeah, I read that in his Seven Tools to Be Useful. And he actually talked about how they had dinner and they talked about it and about how Arnold wanted the body movements to be just like a robot.
Okay. And then he threw money at him and Arnold said, I do have bills to pay. Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
James, you sneaky bastard. How dare you do that to Arnold?
But for further ado, let's go on ahead. Let's dive into this. So welcome, movie buffs and sci-fi enthusiasts, for another thrilling episode of The Terminator. And I'm your host, the T-800. And as always, I'm joined by my fellow other co-host, Tamika. And absolutely mind-blowing. So grab your popcorn, buckle up, and let's transport ourselves into a world where Skynet was born in the midst of wartime chaos. Before we jump into the alternate timeline, let's set the stage by revisiting the original Terminator and exploring its impact on the cinematic landscape. So this is directed by James Cameron, produced by John Daley, Derek Gibson, Gail Ann Hurd, written by James Cameron, Gail Ann Hurd, and William Wisher Jr., starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, Lance Henriksen, and Paul Winfield, and of course, Earl Bowen. This movie had a budget of $6.4 million and made $78,371,200 at the box office.
Jeez.
So it made bank.
Yeah. How does James Cameron come up with these ideas? Like, he look at, like, I don't know what was around back then in that. Well, yeah, I'm from the 80s, but whatever the latest technology, he was like, I wonder if that can wake up and kill people. I'm going to write a story about it.
You know what? I think I'm going to write that down. Okay. Yeah. We need someone big. Let's see. Arnold. Yeah. Okay. Check.
Yeah. He looks dumb and big and a robot. I pick him. James. Okay.
But yeah, the film opens with a deception of the year 2029, a possible future where mankind has been oppressed by artificial intelligent machines led by the rebellious computer system Skynet. This computer becomes Senate and started a nuclear war by hijacking controls over the United States nuclear arsenal, launching the ICBM in a devastating attempting to annihilate humanity. So currently, a post-apocalyptic war is raged in the future where a small resistance group of free humans try to win back their planet and survive the machine's onslaught led by the heroic and influence General John Connor. Connor is the man responsible for the creation of the human resistance and credited with rescuing mankind from extinction, by rallying survivors to combat Skynet's forces. So the opening I definitely like. I really like the dark, apocalyptic kind of feel, you know. And yes, I do have to agree. Linda Hamilton is definitely a badass in this film.
Yes, John. I like the beginning too, and so do a lot of women. Like, you see butt naked Arnold appearing like Thor. He's just walking around naked. And then I could have sworn I saw more, but that's fine. I don't know how to.
Well, if you have the 4K version, I'm sure you did see more.
I need the 4K version. I always wondered, like, why. I guess it makes sense why they appear naked when they come to Earth or the future.
No, I'm thinking it's the fact that clothes absorb. I think because of the fact of how powerful that time machine is. I think that it just absorbs and rips off the clothing to the point where that's what I'm thinking that happens.
Okay. I mean, if they were smart enough, they would build something that doesn't rip. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking too much. I mean, I just found a flaw in their system. So we do have a way to defeat Skynet. I just want you to know that.
Exactly. Okay, so through the year is not specifically mentioned. The present day of the movie will start at the year 1984. Los Angeles introduces the arrival of the Terminator, a Series 800 Model 101 infiltrator unit sent back in time by Skynet to assassinate Sarah Connor, mother of the future savior of mankind and Skynet's greatest enemy before he is conceived by an unknown father the following year. So since the time machine Skynet uses, it's only capable of sending organic matter, clothes, weapons, etc., can't be sent back. Mm. Any being used, the time machine must travel nude. The cyborg assassin is able to travel due to covering a living organic skin that protects the robotic metal skeleton combat chassis. But most also abide by these rules and arrives nude as well. The T-800, knowing it must wear clothes to maintain cover, infiltrate modern society, confronts the first person it meets that have capabilities, clothing sizes in the case. They are three punk rockers drinking by an observation telescope at Griffin Observatory. The T-100 approaches them, and after several verbal sparring demands, he takes their clothing. So what did you think about that?
I'm just imagining some naked guy walking up to me and like, give me your clothes. And then they're like, what's wrong? Laundry day's canceled? Or some smart comment he said. And I mean, you know, and they thought they could take them. And then, of course, like you just mentioned, he kicks the shit out of them. And then the guy gives him his clothes. I mean, that's intimidating enough. And but it just shows too how advanced these machines are, because he's able to speak in their dialect after he assesses the situation, whatever, mechanically.
Right, exactly.
He's like, give me your clothes. You know, there's no robotic language or anything.
No, it's just basically that's how a robot would actually move, how he would ask, ask for clothing and everything. He goes, give me your boots. He does not know how to actually ask for anything. He does not have any emotion, doesn't have any type of feeling for it. He just wants what he wants, and he's going to kill you no matter what. So there's no rhyme or reason. He's just going to go in and kill you. So he kills Bill Paxton. He kills the rest of the punk rockers, takes their clothes, then goes over to a telephone booth and winds up selecting different people named Sarah Connor.
I was thinking about that. How messed up that would be. Like an actual serial killer, right? And they're looking at all the Sarah Connors and they just taking them out one by one. He's like, crap, that's not the right one. Like, you can't go back and say my bad because the person's dead.
Exactly. But also, too, there's also the other part, too, with the whenever he's getting all the guns. And he's naming off every single gun that he has.
Yeah.
That the owner has. And this reminds me of GTA so much, where all the guns are actually out in the open to where people can see them. And there's also rounds that's actually sitting on the counter. And I also have a fan theory. This is my fan theory. I think that this is actually the same guy who plays on Gremlins.
Huh? What?
Yeah, the pawn shop or the gun owner who actually owns the shop is from Gremlins.
Oh, geez.
So my theory is this. I think he ended up, after all the events that happened over where the Gremlins were, I think he traveled over to this city in Los Angeles to get away from all that. And he opens up his own gun shop.
Yes.
And then here comes the Terminator, and he winds up killing him after surviving the Gremlins.
Oh my gosh. And then he dies.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so excited too. He walked in there. He's like, all right. He's like, I will take them all. He's like, ooh, oh my God, good payday.
Well, I'm going to pack up early today.
All right. Okay. All right. That'll be, sir. No, I do not have money. What? I don't get these guns. He was calculating. All right. It's probably like $1,000-some in sales.
Well, not only that, but okay. He said this to him too. He goes, look, you can, there's actually a 30-day wait on the pistols, but the rifles you can take. I'm like, I would think that you could take the guns before you could take the rifles, but this is the 80s, so anything goes.
Listen, if he come to Georgia, he could just walk in there and walk out.
Right? But he goes on ahead. He kills the owner, walks up with all the guns. I like how he's over there just taking the guns and everything at first, and he's, ooh, this is an Uzi automatic. And then goes, oh, yeah, you know your guns. You know your stuff. And next thing you know it, he winds up killing with the shotgun. He walks out with all his ammo, and then he's ready to go. And then he goes over to, like I mentioned before, he goes over to where the telephone booth is, looks at all the Sarah Connors. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly why we shouldn't trust AI to try and do anything, because of the fact that he accidentally killed the wrong Sarah Connor.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, he just went to that lady's house, and she's like, yes. And she's the sweetest lady. Are you Sarah Connor?
Sarah Connor.
I am Sarah. Yes. How can I help you? Oh. Me with the chain on. Yeah, what you want? You Sarah Connor? No.
And then all of a sudden, he doesn't even give the woman a chance to even not unlock the door. He just goes in.
Finally, and then shoots her. I can go back home now. No, that's the wrong Sarah. No, shit.
Could you just imagine the programmer telling the robot, go, that's the wrong one, you idiot.
Oh, shit. Shit.
My bad.
Back to the phone book. Back to the phone book.
Oh my God.
I'm going to ask you.
Okay, what's up?
So the computers ask us, right? Are you a robot? Are they trying to like reach out to their kind? Like, is there some secret?
I wonder if it's the fact that they think that we're robots.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
See, we're totally sober and we're having like conversations like high people. Why do they ask us, are we robots?
Bruh, like, are we robots? Or are we like human?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Do they think we'll infiltrate their secrets? Is it like a speakeasy? Are you a robot? Say the secret code.
Right? Sarah Connor? Right.
Boom. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so meanwhile, in another part of Los Angeles, human resistance soldier Kyle Reese gets sent into 1984, has arrived through time as well, tasked with protecting Sarah from the T-800, which was sent back as a last second act of desperation by Skynet to eliminate its enemy's entire existence. He steals clothes from a homeless man and a shotgun from an unhidden police vehicle. The Terminator cinetic murders of the first two Sarah Connors draws media attention and the attention of police. Lieutenant Ed Trexler and Detective Hal Vekwitch. The remaining Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton, a hapless 19-year-old waitress with a dull life who lives with her best friend and roommate, Ginger Ventura, finds out about the other two Sarah Connors murdered on television, worried by the name connection and nothing that she is being followed by her unknown protector, Reese. She takes shelter in a local club called Technor, where she calls the police for protection. So, okay. So if you were working as a waitress and you happen to see that there was actually a woman named Sarah Connor, which is the same name as you,
yes.
Would you be throwing up red flags like her friend did? Or would you be like, well, it's just a coincidence, so therefore I have nothing to really worry about. It's just kind of ironic and kind of scary that this person's actually named that.
I'm suspicious of people anyway. So the first Tamika Jackson, I'd be like, oh crap, let me call the police. This is no coincidence. They out to get me, man. it's so sad. It's like all those Sarah Connors. And then he's like doing the line drawing, like crap, scratched one line, crap, one line, wrong one. Like, how many Sarah Connors before you know? Why didn't they give him a picture? Like, it's AI, right? They didn't have like a futuristic picture of her. Oh, are you on mute?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, like, Reese. Right? Well, don't forget, though, with Reese and everything in that flashback, the picture was burnt. Therefore, that he didn't have any identification. So we had to go through the yellow pages just to find different Sarah Connors. You know, so it made it a little bit more harder for him to find the right one.
Okay, but like this is Skynet, right? And Skynet can do anything, and there it is, holier than thou AI, and they're supposed to be better than those humans, but they could not produce a generated picture.
No, they couldn't.
Thank you for answering my question. That's another hole in their theory.
Well, even RoboCop had generated videos and everything. This one didn't even have anything.
Talking about did RoboCop Detroit? What, you know?
They're more advanced than
dang
than Skynet.
That's messed up. That's gonna be a Reddit theory.
You can already feel the Reddit, huh? Like, you know what, though? I have to say, though, I like the scene where Sarah's just kind of shocked over there at the moment of like, okay, is this just coincidence, or is just this just happens to be one of those things where I'm in danger? You know, but to have like two Sarah Connors being killed in the same day, that's more than coincidental.
Yeah. Yeah,
but for her to go back to her apartment, like, okay, well, those are just two Sarahs gone. I'm just going to go on and continue with my life.
Yes, but also her coworker made a joke out of it, too. So I'm thinking, because she was like, hey, you're dead, babe. I mean, and her coworker made a joke like that, and she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's just a joke. So I don't think her guard was up either. So the coworker didn't think it was a big deal. So she was like, must not be a big deal to me either. Let me finish my shift.
Exactly. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk to this rude customer and get these orders wrong.
Man, you the kid that put the ice cream in her pocket. Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I would have slapped that kid.
Right?
My mom would actually, I would be in a full body cast probably.
Right. Oh my gosh. Oh, man.
But okay, so another thing too is we also get to see the fact that you have the lieutenant who's also concerned about this though too. We get to see that play out with the detectives. Like, well, we keep on trying to reach her, but it's not, their lines are busy or whatever while we're getting some answer machine. And I know that's reaching all the way to where the club scene and everything else is. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were trying to reach out to her even then, too. And it was only getting the answer machine, probably.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised about that. But
okay. Yes, but her roommate and her roommate's horny boyfriend are hogging the line with phone sex. So maybe that's why they couldn't get through either.
Right, exactly. Because remember, first Sarah answers the phone and he goes, what are you wearing, baby? I want to go on ahead and take your underwear off of my
feet. Yeah, and then she listening, giggling. I was like, huh? Why are you listening?
Watching that scene was kind of cringy because I'm like, because it's the 80s, right? So at first we're thinking this is actually pretty funny because it's Sarah that answered the phone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, it's like, it's kind of cringeworthy in a sense. And then Sarah's just laughing her ass off the whole entire time because her friend's boyfriend is over there talking dirty to her. Oh, it's Sarah. Oh, okay. So she winds up handing the phone over to her roommate, and he does the same thing. Like, he doesn't have no chill. He's just going to go on ahead and keep doing what he was doing.
Yeah. Because at first I thought he was calling for phone sex. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is her night job. She's a phone sex operator. or her roommate.
No. I didn't go that far.
That's how they pay the bills. And she was like, oh, I forgot the roommate's name. She was like, it's for you. And I thought, oh, that's one of her customers. I didn't know to maybe midway that that was her boyfriend. I thought, oh, this is one of the customers calling for some phone sex. And that's how the roommate helped with the bills.
No. Okay. My mind didn't go there. I'm going to be real with you.
you waited. Like, I'm going to wait, but it's a no. But I'm going to let her finish. No.
Her name is Ginger. Her name is Ginger, though.
Yeah, that's a
but stripper. Yeah, Ginger, yeah. But remember this though, they also had dates to go out to this go out and everything. And the guy that Sarah was supposed to see or whatever was gonna stand her up again. Mm. So therefore she's like, well, you know, just go out anyways, you know, and even though there's actually a murderer coming at you. But this actually feels like a slasher film in a sense, the way that the camera angles are.
Yeah.
It kind of has that horror movie kind of feel to it that I like, you know?
Yes, especially the girls talking about going out and getting dressed. And you know, there's danger looming around, like you said. And it's always how it is with the Jason movies and all the other movies. They're like these they're not teenagers, but, you know, teenage girls or boys or whatever, like calm and like, oh, yeah, let's smoke some weed or, yeah, let's go to a party. Let's do something. And it's like, OK, so is Sarah Connor being punished for her sins?
I don't think
okay,
so.
I went too far.
That's bystander.
OK, got it. That's Jason. OK, got it.
But no, I think that she's an innocent bystander and she's someone that, you know, basically because of the fact that the circumstances that the D-800 winded up. Trying to kill her, that's basically all there is, you know.
Okay, got it. Okay.
But another thing I want to talk about is the fact that, okay, so Reese is there, Reese is following her, trying to protect her, and she's running away from Reese the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too. I don't know who's trying to kill me.
Right. And so Reese is over there looking at her. She winds up going into this club. Meanwhile, you have Ginger and her boyfriend having sex, and then here comes the Terminator. He kicks in the door and kills Ginger and the boyfriend. And my thing is this is back before AirPods was even invented or anything. And you have those little crappy ones that look like they came from the dollar store.
Yeah, with the foam on it.
Yeah, she's downstairs acting like she's banging on the drums and everything. Not a care in the world that her boyfriend's getting the shit kicked out of him while he's upstairs. And she's getting down on that broccoli and everything, on the zucchini or whatever it is that she's doing.
You gotta give her some grace, okay? Like, think about your favorite band, and you got them blasted up in your headphones, and you're like, oh, here comes the drum solo.
Here comes your boyfriend flying through the doors while you're making a
scene. No, your eyes are closed, right? Your eyes are closed, and you're like, oh, yeah. And you don't know what's going on. You just in the zone. No. Okay. All right. Well, I tried to help you, Ginger.
Unless it's the Phil Collins song of I Can Feel It in the Air Tonight. Yeah. That's whenever I would be, you know, all over that.
That's me, Metallica, and something else. Yep. If Metallica is on, please don't get killed around me. Because I can't help you. I'm like, shit, you getting killed. Okay, my bad.
But yeah, he kills Ginger and the boyfriend. After hearing a voice on the answer machine, it realizes that Sarah is somewhere else. And after finding Sarah's university ID, sets out to track her down. Now, this thing that makes me laugh is that club can't be that far away from that apartment because all of a sudden he just shows up.
No, he got GPS. He knows.
But still, that was pretty fast on how he got there, though. Like, he's at the apartment, and then all of a sudden it jumps over into where the club is, and Sarah's over there. And of course, this is also when the lieutenant winds up saying, hey, look, we're going to make the news work for us for a change instead of us working for the news. So he winds up getting on the air, telling Sarah to give the cops a call because they're looking for her so that way they can protect her because there is a serial killer out there killing people named Sarah Connor. Mm-hmm. So she goes over to the payphone because she sees Reese over there looking at her, creeping. Mm-hmm. And then she realizes, oh, it's an out-of-order payphone that she's at. Oh. But she winds up finally getting over to another payphone, and she winds up calling the apartment, and she gives the address, she gives the phone number, thinking that her roommate and all them are alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, hey, can you guys come get me? I'm at da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm wearing a pink shirt and this and that, you know, all the information. My social security is this. My hair color is this. My eye color is that. Yeah, she might as well. And he's like, okay, got it. I know who I'm looking for. Check. But yeah, that club. Oh, go ahead.
No. I was just going to talk about the club scene for a minute, though, too.
Yeah, let's go.
Because I thought this was horrifying. You have Reese over there creeping at her. Then the Terminator comes in, T-800. And I like how they have this scene where Arnold is walking into the place and then Sarah drops something.
Yeah.
And he happens to glance her way. I'm like, oh my God. Even though I know she's going to be okay in this scene, that scene still makes me nervous. Because you're thinking that she's going to end up lifting her head up and he winds up seeing her.
Yeah.
Right then and there. So it has that, like I said, it has that horror sci-fi kind of vibe to it. That I wish that the Terminator would go back to, because this is the Terminator that I like to see. Okay. Of course, the second one also had that horror kind of vibe, though, too. But this one started it all, though.
So, do you like Arnold as this Terminator?
I like him as the hero, and I do this one. But it's horrifying to see a guy mm-hmm. that is towering over this woman as mm-hmm. like Arnold. And, of course, you need to have someone like that. Anyone else, I wouldn't be as intimidating as Arnold back in those days. So
yes,
I do like it. I do like the fact that it is Arnold for this one.
Uh-huh.
Because you need someone that's actually scary, like Arnold for the 80s.
Yes. And then, you know, when he's walking over to her and the music is slowing down and it's just him walking and she's staring at him. If you could put like a romantic song on in the background, is really beautiful. Like he's coming.
Careless Whisper?
Yeah, he's like coming to her slowly and she's like, what are you coming? And then like, the gun come up. But you know, before that, it's kind of romantic. If you put like a nice love song in the background, he's like, come out of all the women, it's you I really want.
This guy was really desperate, though. The T-800 definitely didn't give her up.
Yeah, see? Never going to give you up. Cut. That's all we can pay for.
We only have 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a twisted love story. I'm going to put that
in that case, then Michael Myers is also a twisted love story, too.
I'm going to put that out there for Reddit to go crazy on.
Well, but then, you know, this is also, too, what the cops tell her, too, is stay where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to send a police car after you. Do not move. Do not go into the bathroom. Don't do anything. And she's staying at that table, and, you know, the T-800 does spot her finally. And you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? Because then he takes out the gun, getting ready to put it to her head. Reese comes around and takes out his shotgun, and winds up knocking Arnold off his ass with the shotgun blast.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how the movements that Arnold does in this is exactly how a robot would move. I definitely love it.
Yes.
And especially when he removes his hand, like a little like flick, you know?
Yeah. But,
you know, I thought it was really cool. I thought that was really cool of what we got for the 80s.
I think his bodybuilding days really helped him with the poses because it's very mechanical, you know, like his body moves and then his head moves later on. He really has that down pat.
But yeah, so while Sarah's waiting for the police at Tech North, the Terminator and Reese both arrive to acquire her. Reese, not knowing that the Terminator looks like what the Terminator looks like, has to wait to make a move before he is able to intervene to save Sarah from the Terminator. The Terminator and Reese wreck havoc at the disco in their amusing firefight. the Terminator, killing six people in the process. Reese empties his stolen police shotgun into the Terminator chest, knocking it into a reboot cycle. He then grabs Sarah and then both flee in a stolen vehicle while the Terminator pursues in a hijacked car. While fleeing, Kyle tells the terrifying Sarah what is going on to her initial disbelief. After an intense shootout between Reese and the attacking Terminator, the police arrive and arrest Reese and Sarah and bring them to West Island Police Station. The Terminator escapes unseen and breaks into a hotel room to perform self-repairs on its damaged eye and right arm, having to cover the damage with sunglasses. So my thing is this. I like also, too, the scene where now they're actually in the alleyway. Reese and her winds up running out. She, at this point, she doesn't trust Reese, but she knows that she needs him in a sense because of the fact that he did wind up, you know, taking a shotgun and shooting this guy.
Yep.
And she knows, okay, well, he's here to protect me in a sense, even though I don't really know him that well. So they wind up stealing this car. They wind up banging into this police car. The police car winds up, the guy in the police car said, well, we need an ambulance for these six people that died. And also two for a felon for a hit and run with a police vehicle. And so then this other one scene, whenever you see the T-800 just jump on the hood and then punches the windshield.
Yes. I remember that. Like this movie and all those movies from the '80s, they made me miss those type of car chasing scenes. Cause I like car chasing scenes.
But, me too. And they seem like they're a lot longer in the '80s though, the way they do them. Yes. And I really like it.
Yeah, they're a lot longer and they're choreographed great. And then I miss those old 80s police cars. And when I was looking at the movie, I was like, oh, there they go, those old police cars. And it's like the damage was just monumental. It's like crashing, pile up, fire, people punching through windshields on fire, just everything like a buffet, a carnage of chaos. Right there,
exactly.
And I'm like, man, this sun blow up like you tap the sun, boom, half the street blow up. It's like, well, that don't make no sense, but that was cool,
right? I want to see more of that, and then they give you more.
James Cameron was like, okay, he taps on now, boom. Oh my god, it's great. I loved it. I love that car.
That's actually one of my favorite scenes in the movie, though, itself. And then them trying to look, then the police car, police winds up trying to look for them in the parking garage.
Yes, too. That's my favorite too. Like when, you know, they get in the car and then the Terminator finds them, and then it's like they're on opposite ends, but they're shooting at each other from outside the windows. I don't think I've seen that in a movie since.
No, and if it was filmed today, it would have been shaky cam to the point where we couldn't see all the action sequences.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would like to know more about how they choreographed that.
I thought the choreography for that was actually really good. We got to see all the action sequences within that too. And then you also hear Reese telling Sarah, hey, look, I'm sent here to protect you from the T-800s robots. And they're here to terminate you and kill you. And your son from the future sent me here to protect you. And I like how she looks at him like, are you serious right now?
Yes. It's like we the audience know he's telling the truth. But then I'm like, you sound crazy. I don't know if I
right, because think of it like this. If we were in the car with Reese and they sit and he winds up saying, well, your son sent me from the future to protect you. I'm like, okay, buddy. Thank you for saving my life. I do appreciate that. You go your way. I'll go my way. We don't meet in between and have a good life.
Yeah, and then you bite him like Sarah did. And that was an awkward bite because it was like she was biting his knuckles and he was like, ah, stop. I'm trying to save you. I was like, what? Right? It's even more awkward too because she doesn't have kids. And he's like, your son sent me in the future. And she's like, what? I'm a single woman with no children. What are you talking about?
Bizarre. And then I thought that scene played out really well, because if it was a stranger, it puts you in the mindset of Sarah. If I was being told this, would I believe this person or not? And even though he protected me, I think that this guy's losing his mind, because I don't have no kids. I don't know a John Connor. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're over here saying that you're from the future mm-hmm. or anything like that. You've watched way too much sci-fi films. You need to call George Lucas up, you know?
But seeing Arnold, like the Terminator in the disco scene, get his chest blown off and then jump back up, that would give you some hint, like maybe this guy's telling the truth. It's some strange.
Right, exactly. And that's going to come back in a minute at the police station.
Yes.
Too. Because I like how Sarah asked them those questions.
Yes.
Too. But, you know, another thing, too, that I want to mention is this. This is always one of my other favorite scenes, where you have Arnold who's fixing up his arm and everything else, and you see the skeleton of the robot, and it's just so horrifying to see that. And then him covering up that one eyeball with the sunglasses and stuff like that, too. And then Reese also explaining the exoskeleton and stuff like that, the genetics of the robot. And I thought that was really cool. As he's telling that story, this is being played out at the same time. And then, of course, at that point in time, Reese and them do wind up getting arrested. And Sarah's brought into custody. And then you have that other scene that now we're inside the interrogation.
Yeah, that scene was entirely too long. the eyeball, I had to look at him, pierce his eyes, and then the eyeball come out. And then he's just like fidgeting around with it. Like, I'm trying to turn this on. I'm like, okay, this is way too long. We need to cut. You know,
the extended cut was a lot longer than that, though.
Then you get to see like the actual mechanical head moving around, and you're like, I see that that's fake. There's no movie magic. And then it's Arnold, and then it pops back to him, but then it works, because then mm-hmm. you're like, but he's a robot, so like it kind of works to see like the fake head moving around. Animatronics moving around outside the movie magic, but then seeing Arnold moving around, it's a strange way it works, even though,
right, especially like, with the arm though, too, Tamika, like yeah. the robotic arm, but the skin,
yes,
and it works. Those special effects still hold up, in my opinion.
Yes, they're like bad but good
at the same time, all except the part. Yeah. The only thing that didn't work was whenever you actually see the full skeleton. Because it's a slow stop motion. So that's like the only thing I have to say that doesn't really hold up. No,
that works too. That works too. Because then it's like, oh, you know, his gravity is off because he's like a robot.
But yeah, at the police.
Excuses for it.
You're trying to justify it. And here I am trying to use logic.
Cameron got me. I'm telling you, he just pulled me right into the fantasy. I'm like looking at these animatronics.
I think you can actually say that though too, because of the fact with the feet that's actually part of the skeleton. It's not, you could see like two little things over there. That's just him slowly walking.
Yeah. He just trying to figure out our gravity. That's all, John.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, at the police station, Sarah's reassured by criminal psychologist Peter Silberman, douchebag, who believes that Reese is insane, delusional, a loon. Reese's claims about the future and the advanced robot's mission are dismissed as those of a raving lunatic. Clearly, someone's suffering from the psychotic delusions. The police also have logical explanations about the Terminator. They think that he survived several bullets with a bulletproof vest, and that when he smashed through a windshield with his bare hand, he must have broken every bone in his arm, but wouldn't feel it for hours as he was probably on PCP.
Yes, so, I was going to say, don't forget the drugs now.
Right. It's the 80s. They did a lot of drugs back then.
They did a lot of PCP. He's like, he's just on PCP. That's why he hopped That's back all. Up and he got his chest blown off.
But yeah, I'm going to let you break down that scene though with Sarah asking those questions.
You just did.
Well, no. Basically, what I want to do is this, okay? So Sarah is over there in the interrogation room. Well, if that's true,
yes.
Then why was he able to get up after the blast to the chest with a shotgun, especially three or four rounds? Oh, that's because we have bulletproof vests. I'm sorry, but bulletproof vests are not going to end up blocking that much damage with a shotgun blast.
No.
Okay, so
it's okay, new that might be believable. New bulletproof vests. Okay.
I don't know about that. Even in Lethal Weapon 3, you had hollow point bullets that broke through the bulletproof vest. You mean to tell me that?
Well, you know what, Miss Connor? He's just on PCP. Okay. That's all. Okay. That's all we got for you. He's on drugs. Next.
That's it. I can just see him throwing his papers up in the air. He's like,
that's it. He's on drugs.
It's PCP. I mean, that's it.
Just like how the criminologist or criminal psychologist was explored in the moment with Reese, and he's like, this guy's a loon. This is great. I'm gonna make so much money off of him. You know, it's like so creepy that he would even do that. But you also see the corruption in the police force as well, which I feel like all these 80 movies are just showing us the corruption of the police.
Oh, exactly. But, she's like, well, is he really crazy? Well, I'm here to find that out.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, so they sent you from the future, huh? Yes, they did. And then Cybernet. Okay.
Hey.
Right. Yes. I would have said, why did you arrive naked?
Because we have security footage of you and this other one, and there's only thunderstorms that happen during the electrical outage.
And you're here to save Sarah Connor. Okay. Out of all the women, why her? I just told you. We're wasting time. He's on his way here. Okay, Mr. Reese, calm down.
Cool story, bro.
Calm down. It's going to be okay.
You're right.
We believe you, you know, that we believe you. Why are they taking notes?
You know what, though? Then after that, in Judgment Day, I like the fact that they make him come back in Judgment Day.
Oh, man. Yeah, like when I may be jumping ahead, but I think the cool scene was when the psychologist walked out the police station. And then the Terminator walked in at the same moment. I was like, whoa, oh my God.
Yeah, like mere minutes later, that's when he arrives at the station.
Yeah. He's like, I'm here for Sarah Connor. I want to see her. I am the visitor. Do not take any visitors. Okay, I'll be back.
And then drives the car right through the police station. Yeah, in the lobby, destroying the lobby and killing the desk sergeant. The machine now heavily armed with AR-18 carbine and an SPAS 12-round shotgun begins a one-man massacre on the station, killing 17 police officers in its determined search, causing a power outage, setting a fire and greatly damaging the building. In the shootout, part of the station eventually collapses. Reese and Sarah are able to escape once again and go into hiding in a cave. They then rent a free room for a tiki motel, not a hotel, motel.
Yes.
Where Reese begins teaching Sarah how to build homemade explosives while having sex.
you know, the danger and explosive turned on. She came on to him first. I want you to know that. She came on to him because he was in a vulnerable moment. And then she was like, okay, let's have sex. He's like, what's a Terminator after us? Take your clothes off. Okay.
Hey, whatever you want to do.
You want to do. It just reminds me of like, they do that in every scene, like every movie or TV show, like The Walking Dead. They having sex and there's zombies after them. It's something about
danger. They're taking a break. The zombies and the robot. Yeah. They're just taking a break.
Something about danger get it on. Make people want to have sex. This Terminator is after us. Let's have sex.
But yeah, this is also the scene where basically in the cave where we have that flashback of Reese and him just having that one little flashback of in the future. And then Sarah's picture burning, and then you have that one thing of the T-800 coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Reese is John's father, right? Yeah, because she was asking. She was like, well, who is his father? And he was like, you know, some dude. He never said. It's like, okay. Like, I don't know why he didn't. Why didn't he tell her? I guess what by telling her, would that mess up the future events? Or I don't know.
I think so. But I don't even think he knew who his father was. Because remember, he said that he doesn't know who his father is.
Yes, that's true.
So Reese didn't even know.
Well, I thought you were talking about John didn't know who his father was.
No, John doesn't know who his father is, but Reese, I don't think, also knows that he was going to be the father of John.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
So during the night at the motel, Sarah and Reese discuss their feelings, where Sarah expresses her disbelief and feeling of shame at being the mother of a mankind's only hope. He doubts Reese's account of Sarah being thought as a legendary warrior in the future and says he must be disappointed. He quietly denies this, saying that he was given a picture of Sarah by Connor himself for good luck, and that he fell deeply in love with the woman in the photo, admitting his passionate feelings for Sarah, who is deeply touched. Kyle thinks he has made a fool of himself and tries to retain his cool stature, stating that he shouldn't have said it. But Sarah raises his desire, and the two start to kiss and then have intimate sex.
See, she came on him.
That's what I have in my notes.
Yeah, she came on him. He's like, I'm a failure. No, you're not. Let's have sex. Okay.
It's all good. That's pretty much it. I like the fact that you discuss your feelings with me and everything. Yes. It's okay.
Yes, this is a safe space. Let's have sex. Okay.
No problem. So after that happens, later as Sarah and Kyle get dressed, they hear the sound of barking dogs. The Terminator has found them. Sarah and Reese flee in a truck as the T-800 chases them on a motorcycle through a tunnel. During the chase, Kyle is mortally wounded by a gun shot from the Terminator while throwing the homemade pipe bombs at T-800. In a rage, Sarah rams the motorcycle, causing both her and the machine to crash violently. The T-800 commanders a massive tanker truck. After killing the driver, shoots the terrifying passenger and tries to drive over Sarah while the injured Reese inserts a pipe bomb into the exhaust of the vehicle. The resulting explosion destroys the tanker, and the Terminator limps through the rubble as its synthetic human flesh covering completely burns away, revealing the gleaming metal cyborg. An endoskeleton beneath the monstrous cyborg continues to chase Sarah and Reese 2 foot into a auto relic facility, revealing a deleted scene to be cyber. So this is actually a cyber dying systems facility.
Huh. Okay.
Little fun fact.
Okay. Cool.
So I definitely, you know, we both said that we were both fans of chase scenes and stuff like that. This one was really good.
Yes, it had a giant truck in it that caught on fire.
And then, of course, this is also where the skin winds up burning off the Terminator. And I definitely like how the Terminator's on fire and you're wondering, okay, well, is he dead or is he alive or anything like that too, after all that. And I remember as a kid just being horrified at the fact that this thing is still alive after the explosion. And he only has one agenda, is to kill this woman at no stop and everything too. So, you know, just seeing that horrific thing happen again as an adult, everything. Yeah. Like I said that it was kind of outdated with the slow-mo and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time though, too, with the stop motion, I mean, but at the same time too, though, you can't help but be horrified because this thing is still after her.
Yeah, and then there's this sense of defeat. Like, there's this sense of victory. Like, yeah, we did it. We burnt him up. He's dead. And then, you know, like you said, you see everything falling off, his flesh falling off, and you're like, crap, this dude ain't dead. But also, it's like a love story. Because he's like, my love is burning for you, Sarah. Nothing can stop me. I'm going to show you who I really am. Oh, take off my flesh and show you the real me, Sarah.
Show you what's inside of me.
Yes. Reese can't love you like I can. I'm after you. Oh my God. Watch this on Valentine's Day. Boom. That's all I got.
Order. I want to know what love is playing in the background.
I want to know what love is. And he's like walking to her. She's like, no, I'm with Reese. And he's like, no, Sarah, I walked through fire for you.
And then the police is singing every breath you take.
He's like, he's stalking us.
The Monster Cyber continues to chase Sarah and Reese to foot into a facility, like I said. Mm-hmm. And first strikes it with a metal bar. Okay, so in a billion effort to stop the machine, first strikes it with a metal bar, reviving more fatal blows as the machine basically winds up taking his backhand swipe. Kyle manages to blow apart the robot's torso by inserting another homemade pipe into the hydraulic components in the abdomen, destroying the lower half and eventually killing himself and injuring Sarah in the leg due to debris from the blast.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that thing had no chill. Like, it was still crawling.
Yes. And I like the way James Cameron put it, as it's like this inevitable force. Like, yeah, you blow up the torso, but he's like, no, I'm still coming for my girl, Sarah. Sarah, I love you, baby. I'm still alive for you. And he's just like, no, I don't want you. You killed my boyfriend, Reese. And he's like, he's dead now. We can be together. You know, and then, you know, that final scene before she, like, smashes him and his arm is reaching out like, I just want to feel you. I just want you.
Reach out and touch fate.
I just want your touch. And then
that,
like,
love and feeling.
Yeah. And then his hand slowly like descends and it's like, oh, I kind of feel sad for him. He just wanted to touch her. He just wanted to know what love was.
Right. Well, he didn't find out what love was, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was like right here. I mean, I'm talking about the scary part now. His mechanical hand was like right here, right before she crushed him. And then she's like, huh, like that is scary. Okay. and then if he like woke up too, I'll be like, well, dang, what can kill this thing?
Well, a hydraulic press machine will do the trick.
Yeah, but what if he woke up from that?
Well, don't forget, he got his head crushed though too, which is the main part of the brain, which is also part of the memory that you know.
Yeah. And that's another flaw in the system. They should have put her back up somewhere. Take it.
But yeah, she. Then after that, the scene is. Then, of course, after that happens, after she winds up taking the 1,000 tons pressure to crush the Terminator and she winds up surviving, the scene then jumps forward, showing the aftermath of the film's events. Sarah is now several months pregnant with a boy, revealing the movie's twist. By sending back a protector for his mother, John Connor actually inventively created his own existence in their one-night stand together. Reese had conceived a child with Sarah, paradoxically becoming John's father. She acknowledges this during a recording she has taped, which she will later give to her son when he has reached the proper age.
Wow.
So then Sarah stops at a gas station in Medico on November 10th, 1984. She has now become a fugitive from society, where she has a photograph taken of herself before departing. In a final twist of fate, the audience sees that this is exactly the same picture that Kyle Reese carries in the future. Sarah then drives off into the distance to train her son in preparation for his destiny. In the distance, drums are approaching over the mountains. The end credit starts to roll as the Jeep disappears.
Wow. Isn't that awesome? He, like, created his own existence. through a one
without him even knowing that he was going to be creating his own existence.
Right.
He only knew that she was going to be pregnant with a son, but he didn't know who the father was going to be, which is mind blowing.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah. See, that's the good part about Terminator, like the beginning Terminators.
like the plot twist. One life ends and another one begins.
Yeah, the plot twist, they, you know, you don't see them coming and you're like, whoa, that's trippy and that's cool. And then you get further in the series and you're like, oh, that's messy. I don't know. No, you're doing too much. Like, maybe that's a problem with all the Terminator films. Like, they started
that's
out.
That's the problem I find.
Yeah, with the plot twist. And then they like, oh, okay, let's twist this further and further and further and further. And then they
go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to go down there.
That's why I don't like Terminator Dark Fate either, because of the fact that with all that character arc with John Connor, then you're going to go on ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
In Terminator Dark Fate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me pissed off at the Terminator Dark Fate. I wish it would go back to this. This is what they need to go back to. The roots of what Terminator was. It was a horrifying sci-fi action movie. And also with the second one too, though, if you think about it, that's also another horror element though to it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they can do a reboot because Arnold is very, very old, but in the last Terminator, they said, oh, he aged because I forgot how they put it. Some kind of way he aged.
Well, here's the thing with that, though. In the extended version of the Terminator, I believe, and if I'm wrong, people, tell me. I know that you guys will correct me if I'm wrong because you guys are good at that. But but I think that what he has to do is, I think there's a way that you have to drill through either the eyeball or the head or somewhere around there that's his, where his memory is.
Mm-hmm.
In order for him to not have that program to kill.
Oh.
For him to just say, I woke up one day and I decided I was not going to kill no more.
Yeah.
No.
Uh-uh.
It should have been explained better in Terminator Dark Fate, because not everybody's seen the extended version of the very first Terminator movie. So they could have went back with a flashback of him doing that. Better explain that.
Well, now I got to revisit too. So
part one of it.
When he came back in two, was it John that rebooted him?
I think it was a different version of the T-800.
Okay.
I have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I think it was a different version of that Terminator.
Okay.
Because then you have the liquid Terminator, which is the T-1000.
Okay. And he gave him, like, don't kill this woman. Whoever.
You're here to protect John Connor at all costs and his mother.
Okay.
John is basically the one who's trying to protect his mother now.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah, I really got to go back and visit because it makes me want to go down a further rabbit hole. Like, okay, well, who came up with this new version and told him you don't have to kill Sarah? Your new motive is to protect John.
Right. But I think this movie is still good. I still enjoy watching it. I'm glad I got a chance to rewatch this recently. I think there are some things that don't hold up as well or whatever, but all in all, I love the chase scenes like we mentioned, the action sequences, the horrifying elements within the sci-fi itself, and everything, especially that club scene still ends up as very horrifying, still scares me today.
I think this whole movie scares me. I know I joked that it was a love story, but it's like this force that just keeps coming and nothing can stop it until it kills Sarah Connor is scary enough.
Exactly.
Like, you can't kill this thing. You set it on fire, it keep walking. You have to basically find a factory
and kill this thing.
And get it under like a presser. In order for it to die. And
you know
then
what the,
finally it gets killed.
But you know what's funny? When I used to go over to Bogalusa, which is over in Louisiana, right? They have a sawmill over there. So the first thing I'm thinking of is the Terminator. Every single time, whenever I was a kid, I was thinking the Terminator.
Now I gotta figure out where factories are. Because, you know how you prepare for the zombie apocalypse? It's like, okay, well, now I got to prepare for, Skynet.
Cyborgs, right.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, how would I get rid of an AI robot or whatever? I don't know.
I don't know either. But guys, that's going to be it as far as this show goes.
I don't even think about that all night.
Yeah, my number. You can text me if you have any questions.
What if we do this? Oh, God.
Right? But anyways, guys, I'm glad that you guys watched this video and stuff like that. Don't forget to smash that like button. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, all that other good stuff here. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.